NFLTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is TNA Superstar EC3. It's me, DDP.
Listen up, Slapnuts. This is Jeff Jarrett.
This is Pat Patterson.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rant, and you're listening to the greatest rant.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
I heard y'all wanted to hear a bedtime story.
Bada boom! Realest guys in the room.
How you know?
I love kickball.
With your host...
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
You can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
I'm trying to have a peaceful talk show, right? I'm not trying to have one of these talk shows at all that end in brawls and fights and everything like that.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
I knew you'd come.
Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow the journey today at Instagram.com/MBG1211. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is my ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We are live. We are live. We are live on TuneIn Radio, search Wild Talk Radio Network. Get the app. It's free. Listen on the go wherever you are. You can listen to us at Wild Talk Radio. .com, RackRadioShow.com, or Gerwick.net, and you can tweet the show at Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show, or at Lynn's Ward throughout the show.
If I'm looking at my Twitter, which I am, because my phone is right here, so yes, you can tweet me. Go for it. Tweet me. Those are really red uniforms. Like, really, really, really red uniforms.
It's Color Rush. It's all about the color.
At least they're tasteful red. I will say they looked at the color wheel this week. I'm very proud of them. Now, if they could only do that the rest of the season, because, you know, reasons. But anyway, we are here. We are live. We have footballs. I don't know what we're doing at halftime, but we have footballs. We have World Series. Congratulations to the Cubs for ending the streak. Ending the curse, whatever the hell it is. Yes, that's right, y'all. Your Chicago Cubs are your world champions in baseball. That is weird to say.
Yeah, it is very weird to say. It was an amazing Game 7 featuring many twists, many turns, some rain, and a lot of Legos not being thrown up in the air in celebration.
I wanted Lego confetti, damn it! I wanted Lego confetti. Omega, you have let me down. You don't sit there and tell me you have like 2,000 Legos sitting there and then you don't throw them.
So, people, tweet at TJ Omega and tell them we want to see a video of Lego confetti.
I want Lego confetti. I want it. You've waited 108 years. Damn it, this calls for Lego confetti.
So, we're going to remind people throughout the night. Tweet Omega at TJ Omega for Lego confetti.
It's going to be so confused.
If people do it. I don't know if people will do it, but, you know.
Do the thing. Do the thing. Simply for the fact that I want to get the bewildered message on Skype. Why are people tweeting Lego confetti at me?
So we'll get on that at some point to make that happen for everybody.
But we also have wrestling because, you know, we are a wrestling show, even though there's football on TV and, you know, there's baseball to talk about. But yes, we also have wrestling and we have news. We have notes. We have NXT Tweet of the Week and Hell in a Cell. That's right. We are going to be talking all about the WWE event that took place this past weekend. That was a humdinger of a show, but now I say we jump right into news brought to our friends over at TNAsylum.net, the haven for TNA fans, and Gerwick.net. They have no catchy slogan, so insert slogan here. And we're going to start with TNA, because the saga continues.
As TNA turns. That's all I got.
I thought you had a bumper.
No, that was for Paige. I never had a TNA bumper yet.
Damn it. All right, well.
I thought about it, then I couldn't think of something creative for it.
There's like this awkward pause as TNA turns.
As anyway. TNA turns. Dum-dum-dum.
So, first and foremost, the court decision this passed from this previous week was handed down on Monday. The injunction that Billy Corgan had requested has been denied, so he is out on his ear on that, which basically gave Dixie power to resume operations without having to have Billy Corgan's permission. So TNA has resumed operations, and because of that, ladies and gentlemen, TNA has been de facto sold to Anthem. Yes, there's his little sounder. To Anthem Entertainment, with Aerolux being an...
Anthem Sports and Entertainment.
Anthem Sports and Entertainment, we'll get it right. With Aerolux being a partner as well. Dixie Carter is maintaining a minority stake. She's going to keep her place on the board as chairwoman of the board. But at this point, Dixie Carter is out.
She is without power in TNA. They, Anthem Sports and Entertainment have put out in place their own, president, CEO, whatever the person title is, that will be running the company going forward. It was originally thought that someone from Aerolux would be the CEO, but that is not the case. Because the guy had been running the company over the last few weeks.
But not anymore. So Aerolux is steadily putting their people in place. Anthem is steadily putting their people in place. Billy Corgan is 100% out of the company at this point. His lawsuit is still pending. Billy, honey, I know you're upset. Okay? I know you're pissed. I get it. I really get it. I know you wanted TNA and you got screwed and I sympathize with you 110%, but honey, please get off your Twitter. Please stop. Billy Corgan has been taking shots all goddamn day at Anthem. Just stop. Please, for the love of God, just stop it before you embarrass yourself further.
Alright, so, Anthem Sports and Entertainment Corporation, Impact Ventures, parent company of TNA Impact Wrestling, today announced that Anthem has provided a credit facility to TNA to fund operations. Anthem Sports and Entertainment is a global sports media company that operates Fight Network, Impact Wrestling's exclusive broadcaster in Canada, as well as the exclusive worldwide digital streaming partner for all TNA programming. It is also an equity stakeholder of Impact Ventures. Ed Nordholm is the Anthem Executive Vice President, and he's going to be on the Impact Ventures Board of Managers. The company will be managed by the board, with Mr. Nordholm representing the board in all major operating restructuring decisions. Dixie will be the chair of the company, as well as her position on the board. Billy Corgan is no longer with the company. We've had a successful long-term partnership with Fight Network as our Canadian broadcaster, and more recently as our global digital partner, said Dixie Carter. Anthem's team has extensive media experience, and I'm excited to have that available to us as we plan for the future.
Basically, if you read the whole letter, it's a pretty way of saying, hey, I know we screwed up, I know we kind of screwed everybody over, and we've been lying to everybody, but it's good now, we have money again, everybody come back, everybody don't leave.
Oh, you're talking about the letter that she sent the talent. This was the press release they put out.
Well, the press release too.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
The press release is, hey, we're good now!
We have credit. People gave us credit.
People gave us money. We're good.
We're in such a great spot now that Anthem Sports and Entertainment is funding our company. You all got paid. Yes, all the talent has gotten paid.
Yes, everybody has gotten paid in terms of the talent and the production crew and staff and everything like that. Everybody got their checks this past week. But interesting enough, Billy Corgan has not been paid yet. There is a delay on his check, which is one of the reasons why he's taking shots. And also, another lawsuit has come down against TNA for another debt. And this is for a design firm, Freely International, that does some of their graphic design and shop TNA stuff, and, you know, in terms of designing it and distributing it and that kind of thing. Apparently there's a $40,000 debt.
$43,000 debt, yes.
With them, that has gone unpaid.
They're buying stuff week after week after week, and it's just all piling up, and they never pay for it.
Which is going to be an indication of, I think, things to come, where it's basically going to be another week, another lawsuit for TNA, because now, for the past 2 years, they've been running on the good graces of everybody, not paying their bills, and so everybody's now going to come after them because they have money. Like, before, there wasn't a point, because she couldn't pay it. And so it's just, you leave it out there, and you let it linger, and you just avoid the phone calls. Now it's, they're being backed by Anthem, so it's, hey, look, they have cash. So we're going to get our money.
Everyone's going to get paid eventually.
So that's unfortunate, but I would expect to see more of that in the coming weeks. What also may be coming is the potential of a loss of TV deals, which TNA suffered a huge setback for them, you know, where they announced this great thing that Anthem bought them out, they're flush with cash again, they can kind of start running the way that they need to, except for the fact that they can't run in the UK because they lost their Challenge TV deal, which was their entry into the United Kingdom and really Europe.
Oh man, that one. I'm looking for the press release as we speak.
I'm just going to point out that TNA blamed the spoilers.
That's what I was going to, yeah.
Basically, TNA said, you know, this is unfortunate and this sucks that we lost the partnership. They were a major deal for us.
Here we go. We are proud to have such a great relationship with Challenge and appreciate how the channel brought Impact Wrestling to our avid viewers throughout the years. In today's world, spoilers are inevitable. We've heard from the amazing fans in the UK, and know you do not want to wait 3 to 5 days to watch the program after it airs in the US. Our goal is to broadcast Impact Wrestling in the UK as close to the US premiere as possible. We look forward to announcing that opportunity soon, so stay tuned. In the meantime, we hope you to continue to watch Impact Wrestling on Challenge Sunday nights at 9, as well as Explosion and pay-per-views, and follow us on social media. Thank you. Now, can I point something out?
Go ahead.
Follow us on social media. What do they do during 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Thursday nights?
They live tweet their show.
Wouldn't those be called spoilers?
We've been over this. If you're live tweeting something that's airing as it's happening, namely a sporting event, it's not a spoiler.
But these are the spoilers they're talking about.
Oh, I know.
That's what I was more going. I was going into the whole conversation we've had about live tweeting and spoilers. Anyway, this is them spoiling their own show to the UK because they tell them, follow us on social media. At the same time, they go, spoilers.
Uh-huh. So, yeah. So, that's unfortunate. It will be interesting to see if they lose any more TV deals based on either ratings or spoilers or bad business or whatever, because I'm sure a lot of their partners have been watching what's going on with, you know, a pretty close eye. And I will say that, you know, while Billy Corgan was unsuccessful in getting TNA, I would say he was pretty successful at damaging Dixie's reputation.
Now, I gotta put this, you're right on that point, but here's the thing. This whole Challenge losing thing, they've known about for a while.
Oh, I know, I'm sure they have, but still, it's...
It's because the ratings have been dropping very much in the past couple of years. They used to be one of the top-rated shows, and now they don't even break the top 20 or top 30.
So it makes sense that they're getting dropped. Challenge doesn't want to pay for something that isn't delivering, and I would be curious to know what their ratings are elsewhere to see if they're going to get dropped elsewhere, because they've been dropped a couple other places over the past couple years where they just don't want to carry them. Basically, the final nail in the coffin for TNA would be as if they lost India, because that's their main money stream.
They make about $5 million a year from India.
So if they were to lose the India deal, they're done.
Well, they're not done now because of Anthem, but yeah.
It would become very difficult, because I think Anthem's model is not to make them a touring brand. Anthem's model is to use them for content only and to use them for content only.
And that would be filling content here for Canada and US, and that would be it. It came out that they are on a bartered deal with Pop TV for advertising. It's been widely well known, but it's beneficial based on all the legal work.
Yeah.
And they made it seem like it was their decision to go to Pop TV.
Instead of it being...
Because they wanted to secure their digital rights.
That's something... I will give Dixie Carter all the credit in the world. Her PR people know how to do spin.
Not great spin.
But they know how to do it.
It's not great spin.
But they know how to spin something.
They know how to spin something, but it's not great spin.
Oh, I know, but still, it's like, they got an answer for everything. It's astonishing.
It is. It is astonishing, but sometimes it just makes you scratch your head.
Speaking of making you scratch your head, good transition. TNA announced that Al Snow's training facility will be named the Global Training Center for TNA. What?
Global Developmental Center.
Whatever. Somebody's jealous of a certain developmental facility in Orlando.
I got nothing to add on that one. I just like your transition. Scratch your head to Al Snow. Well played.
Well, it is head-scratching with everything that is going on with TNA. Lawsuits, money troubles, owners bickering. You know, basically the company is in complete and utter chaos. It has been for like the past 6 months. Mm-hmm. With everything that's going on, it's, oh, hey, we're announcing a new global training partner. What? What? What is that?
It's a thing.
You can't even pay your bills and you're going to have a training partner? What?
You got to get talent from somewhere.
I know, but still, it's like, with everything that's going on, you pick now to announce that. Like, I think everybody, when they said that, was completely baffled.
Hey, in a time of negativity, you always need that one positive story.
I guess so, because, well, they're going to need it, because one talent's already announced that she's leaving.
Maria Bennett, Canales Bennett, is going to be wrapping up once her contract is done, and she's going back to school.
Yeah, she's basically retiring from wrestling, more or less, to go back to school to finish her degree. But it's speculated that probably Mike Bennett will leave with her once his contract's done.
All speculation.
All speculation, nothing confirmed. Rhea is confirmed. Mike Bennett is not. It's also being speculated that a lot of the talents are not happy about what has happened. I think a lot of people wanted Corgan, and so people could leave, but it depends on how they like the new ownership.
Do my checks clear? Yes. All right, yes. We're good.
Did I get a check?
Did I get a check? And did it clear? And did I get it on time?
Right?
That's the name of the game in 2017 going forward for TNA Wrestling.
But yeah, so as Maria transitions out of her career, we wish her the best of luck moving forward. Have fun with school. It sucks. Transitioning to WWE, because I have nothing to add to that. We're doing so good tonight. Yay!
No, I was giving you actual credit for the head transition.
I do what I can, you know.
Because what does everybody want?
Head!
No, everyone wants Edge and Christian's show. They're totally Reeks of Awesome. They want that, right?
Did it get renewed?
They posted a picture tonight, or Christian did, brainstorming with Edge rated R, hashtag beautiful minds at WWE Network. And on a piece of paper says, season 2? Ideas? Question mark?
Oh god, they need to do a season 2. And they need to pick up right where they left off with the Wyatt family.
Heard you want to hear a bedtime story.
I need more Brace bedtime stories. I seriously do. That was epic. And Edge grew his hair out again.
For a role.
Probably for Vikings.
Yeah. That's why he has the beard too.
He looks weird with long hair. He looks really weird. But speaking of Edge,
He had long hair for years.
But then he cut it, and he looked really good with it short. Like, he looked really good, and it was growing out again, and it looks weird. It's like, you know, Taker shaved his head, and he looked really weird.
Look, one at a time. Go to Edge.
So congratulations are in order for Edge, because he and Beth Phoenix got hitched.
Hey, they have 2 children, so about time.
No judging, but congratulations to the happy couple. May you have many long, wonderful years together. And speaking of Taker, God, do you have a sound effect for Taker? Apparently he does. We have a gong for The Undertaker. Oh, you're not going to do it this time? Okay, fine. It's been announced that for the 900th episode of SmackDown, which will be taking place on November 15th, The Undertaker is... you dick. The Undertaker is scheduled to make an appearance. It's unknown if he's doing it on camera or off camera, but he is slated to be on SmackDown on the 15th.
He will be on camera.
Papa Taker is coming back.
Because they put it out on WWE.com that he's returning to SmackDown Live for the first time since WrestleMania. So we determine whether he's going to be full gimmick or...
Hi, I'm Mark Calloway.
He'll be full gimmick. He will have the wig and everything.
He will not be wearing a wig.
He will be wearing a wig.
He will not be wearing a wig.
He's so wearing a wig.
He's not wearing a goddamn wig.
Notice I'm the Taker fan, and I'm saying he's wearing the wig, and he's saying he's not going to do it. This is The Undertaker. When has this man ever appeared outside of gimmick for a WWE function?
That's one thing. This is WWE, where he has medium-length hair.
It's long.
It's medium-length hair.
It's long.
It's medium-length hair.
Can you tell we've been arguing about all things Taker this week? It's long.
Do you consider Edge's hair long? Or is that
yes.
Or is that just grown out?
I just said it! His hair is long!
You said his hair was grown out.
It's long!
No, that...
And Falcon score touchdown! Yay! No, it's long! Wait,
what?
I was thinking maybe they were gonna call a excessive celebration, but apparently not. Okay, cool.
You mean a no fun flag?
Yeah, the no fun flag.
Punting. Yeah, no.
Because they spiked the ball.
Because you're not allowed to have fun in the NFL. None whatsoever.
Absolutely none. That's a pretty, pretty, pretty pass. So anyway, no, Edge's hair is long. Taker's hair is long. To me. To me. To Mr. I'm a guy over here. It's medium length. So if you want to weigh in on the argument, you can tweet us at Rack Radio Show, at Wild Talk Radio, and at Lens Ward. Why did you go for two? You idiots! What is wrong with you? Why did you go for two? Why? Just kick a goddamn field goal.
Extra point.
Whatever. Kick the thing through the uprights. But no, we had to be special and go for the 2 points and miss it. Shaking my fist. Nobody can see it, but I'm shaking my fist right now. So yeah, so anyway, Papa Taker is coming back to SmackDown. I want skits, damn it. I want skits of Daniel Bryan and The Undertaker. And that really awkward moment between Shane and Taker.
Yeah, I also want Daniel Bryan to finally get his hug. As if you
yes!
watch, if you watch Soul Bellas, Daniel Bryan needs a hug, and The Undertaker needs to give him the hug.
Well, supposedly Daniel Bryan got the hug.
We need to see the hug.
Yeah, we physically need to see, because he chased The Undertaker backstage, and he ran out with a microphone. He's like, he hugged me, and we never got to see it. Very upsetting.
We need to now see it.
We need the visual of the hug.
And because Daniel Bryan needs a hug. This is where Shameless the promo. Go listen to the Rack Extra Total Bellas Season 1, Episode 5, now available at Wild Talk Radio and RackRadioShow.com.
Ding! So, we have no transition for this. Again, we seem to be lacking transitions tonight. But speaking of the WWE Network...
Following SmackDown Live...
Following SmackDown Live, replacing, or I should say pushing back, Talking Smack. Very upset about this.
Our favorite show on the WWE Network.
Oh my god, I love that show so much. Is going to be 205 Live, which is going to feature the Cruiserweights, and it will be a live one-hour special following SmackDown every week.
Starting November 29th.
I'm upset about this.
I am too. It's great the Cruiserweights are getting their own show. I just don't care that it's live on Tuesday nights. I don't care. I like Talking Smack as a follow-up to SmackDown. It's a great transition. It's an easy show to watch. It's a fun show to watch because you get live natural reaction. Now, go ahead.
I'm just not that into the Cruiserweights. I feel really horrible saying that, but I'm just not into the Cruiserweights.
Now, you are looking at going to SmackDown in December, correct?
I am not staying for the Cruiserweights. I have to go to work the next day. I am not staying till 11. Like, that was the great thing about SmackDown, is SmackDown ends at 10, so you actually have a shot of getting home at a decent hour, as opposed to Raw, which ends at 11, which, you know, you can just forget it. You don't get home till like, 1. At least I don't. By the time I get on the train and get on the interstate and then get home, forget it. But...
Okay, you didn't even let me ask my question, but you answered it anyhow.
Yeah, well, I know where... Dude, one brain.
I know.
One brain.
I know.
Okay?
No, but that's the thing. You're not alone. A lot of fans... who sit on their hands during the Cruiserweight segments on Raw are now going to have to sit there for an hour. You're going to see a mass exodus of fans at SmackDown tapings because they've already seen the stars.
Well, it's not even that you've already seen the stars. You're putting it on at the end of the show.
Yeah.
SmackDown tapes on a Tuesday. All right, that's a school night. That's a work night. Nobody's going to want to stay an extra hour, or I should say a lot of people, especially people with kids, are not going to want to stay an extra hour to see the Cruiserweights. It's like you can shoot it before.
But they can't.
But they can't because they're shooting main event. So it's either you open the SmackDown tapings up even earlier to get this, or you work something else out because For me, I don't understand why it has to be live. Other than they want to avoid spoilers, because spoilers are apparently the death knell of everything. Why are they filming this live?
I don't know.
Because the Cruiserweight Classic wasn't live.
Cruiserweight Classic was not live. It was taped. It was produced. The positives. Corey Graves and Mauro Ranallo will probably be a very great pairing on Tuesday nights. It's a great commentary pairing. They were great on the pre-show for Hell in a Cell. That was why they did that. Test run. Here we're going to go do a thing. So watch us. I just don't like the idea. It's great they're getting their own show, but there's no interest. And because now they're going to do angles on Raw leading to Tuesday nights, it's like, I'm not going to pay attention to the 205 Live. I don't want to watch 3 hours of wrestling on Tuesday nights. I watch Talking Smack because it's listening. You don't have to actually watch it. You can listen to it.
And it's interesting.
And it's interesting because it allows Daniel Bryan to further the storyline. And he does a great job at it.
Yeah, he puts everybody over. He sells everybody.
And now we're going to have this Cruiserweight show, and it's just...
I mean, I'm not disparaging the Cruiserweights. I'm just not interested in the Cruiserweights. I think it's great that they're getting their own show, because that gives them their own platform. Similar to what the Cruiserweight Classic was. And when we had the discussion about the Cruiserweights, we said, you know, maybe it would be a good idea to give them their own show and take them off Raw and put them on having their own thing, like they were with the Cruiserweight Classic, then that makes more sense.
But they're going to be on Raw, they're going to be on the 205 Live, and then they're touring with NXT, so it's like, they have the weirdest schedule of them all.
I know, they have the busiest schedule, because I think they're working Raw house shows too, aren't they?
No, they're doing the NXT house shows.
They're doing just NXT? Okay.
As of now.
They're doing everything, so it's like, I don't understand. I don't understand why it has to be live, why it can't be pre-taped, why you can't rent.
You can tape it after SmackDown. Do that. Fine. Air it on the next night on the network after NXT. It worked. But I think they figure, oh, people will tune in from USA to the network. It's like, no one's going to do that. It's not going to be a thing. What kills Raw? 3 hours of content. No one's going to care whether you're at your home or in your building to watch that show live. It's not a thing.
Yeah, because here's the thing. SmackDown ends, I go to bed. That's what happens. I go to bed because I have to get up and go to work the next day.
Well, after talking Smack.
After talking Smack, yes. After talking Smack, I go to bed. But I have to go to work the next day. A lot of people do.
It's not worth it. You can't expect people to care about the content. It's too much, especially in a row. You can put it on a Thursday. You can put it on a Friday. Spread out the content so much easier for people.
Do it on a weekend.
Yeah. So it's like,
do it on a Saturday.
Do it on whatever. Saturday's weird. But yeah, you can do it on any day. It's a lot of content. It's hard to keep interest, especially when you're not developing people.
Yep.
And the live crowd is not going to enjoy it. I'm just telling you, because Cruiserweight Classic worked in front of 500 people in Full Sail. You're now going to 5,000 to 10,000 people. Just saying.
So yeah, but I mean, it's great for them. After all that, after bashing the crap out of it, it's great that they're getting their own show. I hope it's successful for them. For me personally, it just doesn't do anything for me. Because again, I'm really not into that Cruiserweights because there hasn't been that moment where it's clicked for me with them. It's like, I've seen some absolutely fantastic matches and they're wonderful performers and they're incredible athletes. But it's just like, for me, there's nothing clicking. Like, I think the most interesting thing they've done so far is the feud between Perkins and Kendrick, which they're finally kicking that off and they're finally getting that going. And it's like, oh, hey, look, we're getting a proper feud now. So it's yay for that. You can get interested in the storyline. But just, you know, an hour of straight up cruiserweight wrestling, it's like they all work the same style. So it's an hour of the same thing over and over and over again. It's like after the first time you see somebody do a really cool flippy move, they all kind of blend together, you know?
Yeah.
So I hope it works for them. I really, 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 really do. But I'm not staying. I'm already stating that. Not staying. So, and last, but certainly not least, get your sounder.
Bones breaking. Backs cracking. Shoulders snapping. It's this week's injury roundup.
Oh, God. So,
to follow up from last week.
Austin Aries.
# blame Brent.
With a broken eye hole.
Fractured left orbital bone.
I like his description better.
I know that, but I'm giving the full-on description. Yep, that's a thing.
That's a thing. His eye looks terrible.
He'll be out until the first quarter of 2017.
Although he sold it. He sold it tonight on NXT. We'll get into it, but yeah. Poor Austin. Poor Austin. I hope you feel better soon. Faster than first quarter, but probably not. But on that note, I say we take our first break of the evening. What do you think? I'm going to take that as a yes. So when we come back, we are talking all things Hell in a Cell. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
Running out of air, ain't seen the light of day. Living life scared, so I hide myself away. Chaos all around, be quiet.
Which one of these candidates would you vote for in the CB Radio Party election?
When the chat room failed for me a few weeks ago, that broke my heart because I was unable to get that one-on-one feel that I give to each and every single one of you. And that's why I'm running, because you need somebody who'll be there for you.
The people don't know what's good for them. We'll tell you what's good for you guys. That's why you want to vote for me. You vote for me and I'll do the thinking for you. You want me, I'll put a wall around everything. It'll be a green wall made of marijuana, all right? And everybody can meet at the wall and we'll smoke it. So go, remember, go green.
Vote for me and I'll get us a huge fucking island and 4-day weekends. 30-hour work week, overtime, double time.
And what I can promise the people is we're going to do the same guy
goddamn thing that I do every time I call when I do, and that's to keep the entertainment going. So fuck all you guys.
The debate continues on. Saturday nights, midnight-ish Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The following has been paid for by the campaign to elect Subway.
You don't want jobber people. The guy never comes on the show. He only does his little gaming show to hear himself talk. Just trust me, he listens to his own segment. We know he listens to his own segment. He doesn't care about you like I do. Rob don't show up on time. He doesn't care. He doesn't think for you people. You heard him. We've got 6 days to forget about it. I haven't forgotten yet. Just remember, grab life by the pussy.
Vote Subway in CB Radio Party Election this November.
You can look, but you can't touch. You keep dreaming on the stars above.
Hi, this is Bree, and this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins, and you're listening to the Rap Radio Show.
Something in your eyes lets me see right through you.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to my friends over at Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow the journey today at Instagram.com/MBG1211. And also shout out to everybody listening that take two. Shout out to everybody listening to us over at RackRadioShow.com, Gerwick.net, and WildTalkRadio.com. Live radio, folks. Live radio. If you're just joining us, you missed us talking about our new segment and all the fun stuff that's going on, including TNA. The saga continues, so go back and listen to that when you get a chance at the archives on wildtalkradio.com and rackradioshow.com. Just hit that plug extra hard. But now we're going to talk about Hell in a Cell.
But before we do that, Falcon scored another touchdown.
Go for one! Go for one. Don't go for two.
So Hell in a Cell kicked off with Cedric Alexander, Lindsay Dorado, and Sin Cara taking on Drew Gulak, Tony Nese, and Daivari on the pre-show.
Kokai! I don't know.
They blended in very purpley.
They did blend in very purpley.
That is my comment. I made it Sunday. I make it here. Very purpley.
But it was a good match.
Oh, it was a fine match. It was cruiserweights being cruiserweights. The finish was really good.
Yeah, the finish was fantastic in this. But I mean, the match overall, it was fine. It was good.
Cedric Alexander, Sin Cara, and Lindsay Dorado pick up the victory. We had a team Sin Cara. We got the win. So did the 8-Ball. Video game did not participate in this pick. Because cruiserweights. So we kick off the main show, Hell in a Cell. Roman Reigns versus Rusev. For the United States title.
This was actually really good. I was pleasantly surprised by this.
Yeah, better than I expected. Less in the ring to start. A good use of the Cell early.
Yeah. Well, this match is really... It didn't have the hype for the Cell, but they did a good job using the Cell throughout this match, just in terms of physicality. This was much more of a fight and less a wrestling match, which was good.
Yeah, they used the steel steps a good bunch. There was a spot where Roman got tied up in the ropes and got beat by a stick. Though I did not like the aftermath of that because Roman no-sold it, basically. He sprung out of the rope and then hit a clothesline. I figured he could have taken the beating and stayed down for a while, but that's just me. So Roman escaped the accolade on the steel steps. There's a steel chain involved. And then Roman dove over the steps and hit a spear. Roman Reigns retained.
I mean, mean, this was very, very well done. I will admit it. I was dreading this match a little bit just because the straight-up Roman Rusev matches just haven't done it for me because I think there just hasn't been a level of violence in them that there needed to be. This was good because this was the fight. This is what we've been waiting for, where it's just this knockdown, drag out, I'm going to kill you kind of brawl between the two with a little wrestling phone thrown in for fun.
Yeah, I would agree. We had Roman, 8-Ball had Rusev, Video Game had Roman, so the 8-Ball takes a loss there.
Suck it, 8-Ball.
Bayley versus Dana Brooke was up next.
This was good.
The match was fine. Dana worked the arm. Bayley sold well. Bayley worked around Dana and hit the Bayley to belly for the win.
Go Bayley. Go Bayley.
There really isn't much to say other than Bayley is awesome. Dana Brooke needs a lot of work still.
Dana's still learning, and Dana's at the disadvantage that she got called up early, and she's learning on the road. But she's gotten better.
She has the right gimmick in the right spot 2 years early.
She'll grow into it.
She's going to have to, because her work is not there to justify her position right now.
But they don't have her work a lot.
No.
That's the thing.
But that there's a reason for that. But it's not her fault. They just brought her up too early. She needed another year or two. Bayley wins. I had Bayley, you had Bayley, April had Bayley, Video Game had Bayley.
We all believe in the Bayley.
Joe goes backstage, he wants him and Owen to be co-captains at Survivor Series, so he wants to be on Team Raw. Well, as we know, he is on Team Raw, based on Monday Night Raw. Anyway, Enzo Amore and Big Cass take on Gallows and Anderson. Thoughts?
They finally got the win. Bless. It was fleeting. It was only for one night, but the club finally got their win.
Carl Anderson is a boring font. He's Times New Roman. You're the font expert. Do you agree that Carl Anderson is a boring font?
No, I don't. Mainly because I actually kind of like Carl Anderson. I liked him when they were doing the comedy stuff. He's kind of grown on me a little bit. Not a lot, but a little bit. I don't think he's a boring font. I don't think he's Times New Roman.
Then if he was a font, what font would he be?
I don't know. He's probably like a Myriad or an Arial, something like that.
Those are kind of boring fonts, too.
Kind of boring, but not really. Maybe a Helvetica?
But not a Helvetica bold.
Yeah, he's not a bold. He's a regular.
He's a regular.
Medium at most. But yeah, this was fine. Enzo and Cass came out and did their thing. It was great.
Gallows, basically, as I summed it up, is described as a big girl who needs to get laid. Because all girls need to get some.
Sure.
Even, I don't know what Enzo was saying. The big gal, as he's called now. I don't know. It's a thing. Gallows and Anderson won with the magic killer. Then we get to the good stuff. Oh, before we get to the good stuff, we all picked the club and we all got it right.
Hey!
Now the good stuff. Kevin Owens. Seth Rollins. Hell in a Cell. Go.
This was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. They tried to murder each other several times over. Chris Jericho got involved.
After the referee got blinded by Kevin Owens prematurely setting himself off.
He had performance issues.
He had performance issues.
He had performance issues.
You know, it happens from time to time. You just sort of explode early.
As Corey Graves said, it was an accident. But anyway, so yeah, you had some fantastic spots in this. You had high-level violence. You had a two-on-one.
You had Kevin Owens building.
He did. He built. And then he went through, which had to hurt.
Mm-hmm.
A lot.
It did.
That's the thing about Hell in a Cell. You never set the table up because you're always the one that ends up going through the table.
According to Tim on Sunday, it's safer to go through two tables because of padding as you go down.
Something tells me that does not make it better.
That's what the professionals tell me.
So the less tables you go through, the less it hurts? Or the more tables you go through, the less it hurts?
Yeah, at least two tables because I don't know if you go through three and four, but two, you're right, when they're stacked up. Anyway, powerbombed by Rollins to Owens through the two tables. This was really good. Jericho got powerbombed to the cell. He got a pedigree at one point. Powerbombed through two chairs. Kevin Owens retains. Really good match.
Really, really, really fantastic match.
Jericho hit a codebreaker after the match.
Because reasons.
I had Owens, you had Owens, Abel had Owens. Video Game at Seth Rollins.
Sucker.
TJ Perkins versus Brian Kendrick for the Cruiserweight title. I was bored. That's my response. I was bored.
This was better than some of the other matches I've seen. They did some storytelling in this. Kendrick fake an injury, play on TJ Perkins's emotions, which allowed him to pick up the victory because Perkins obviously tried to help his friend, and Kendrick took advantage and was able to roll Perkins up.
Well, he made him tap out.
That too.
Made him tap out on that one. But yeah, it was like, yeah, I'm hurt. And he suckered him in and made him tap out. Yeah. Kendrick won. It was a thing. Video game picked Kendrick. The rest of us picked Perkins. It's not a good one for us. Just saying.
No.
New Day took on Sheamus and Cesaro for the tag team titles. This was a good match. Xavier Woods was in the match rather than Kofi Kingston. I enjoyed the match. She mentioned before the match. Do they get along? Do they not get along? Are they getting along?
That was terrifying. Sheamus and Cesaro getting along with each other is super terrifying. You're like, what? What? No.
Is this a thing? And then they start arguing.
Yeah, and then it's like, oh, okay, I feel better now.
Because he brought him his tape, and they were all having nice and fun. And yeah, it didn't turn out so well. Sheamus pulled out Big E. They use a trombone. Woods was in the sharpshooter. So Francesca 2 is no more. Kofi hit Sheamus with Trouble in Paradise, caused the disqualification. So Sheamus and Cesaro win, New Day retain. I was okay with the finish. I thought it was creative.
I liked the finish. I thought it was good.
Yeah, it was creative.
It was different.
Because it gets us to another match between the two, whenever that may be.
Who knows?
We had New Day, so did the video game. It's a loss. April had Sheamus and Cesaro.
And also it helps to build the tension between Sheamus and Cesaro. But yeah, it's like... because I think at this point, everybody is bored with New Day constantly winning. And it's, I mean, we said it when we did pick them. It's, they're going for the Demolition record. So New Day is not going to lose the belts until they at least get to the Demolition record. And then from there, it's, okay, what do you do next kind of thing.
Main event time. Hell in a Cell. Charlotte and Sasha Banks for the women's title. First things first, entrances. First go with Charlotte.
Holy shit. She got an entrance. Charlotte comes out on a platform, sitting on a throne with four large men dressed as Roman soldiers, carrying her to the ring like the queen she is. This was epic. This was like next level epic.
And then there was Sasha.
Sasha, they did the Brooklyn entrance where she shows up in the SUV. She's got the bodyguards. She's looking like a boss. Personally, I think Sasha should just come to the ring like this all the time because she just owns it. But yeah, this gave me all the feels because when they did that, it was, they're going to do this right because they're in the main event. They're selling it. They're owning it. They're giving the girls entrances. They're hyping this up. This is the first ever women's Hell in a Cell. They're making it a big deal. They're making it important.
They get in the ring. Charlotte attacks before the bell. And they get outside the cell before it comes down. And they fight into the crowd. And then there was that moment where they start scaling the cage.
And everybody was like, holy crap.
Charlotte fell off and powerbombed Sasha Banks through the announce table. Points.
Which was vicious. That looked like it hurt a lot.
EMTs came out. We got a stretcher spot. Took Sasha. The only complaint I had, it took Sasha forever to get around the cage. It's the only complaint.
Yeah, it did.
It's the only complaint. So she's being stretchered out. Charlotte's demanding the title the entire time. She was being perfect heel. The ring announcer starts to declare Charlotte the winner. It's like, Sasha's like, nope, not gonna happen. I'm gonna fight. I'm gonna get up off the stretcher, take off the collar, and go. And that's when she started slapping the security. And away they went. Before we get into the match, thoughts on that?
I thought this was all really, really, really well done. You gave Sasha that moment. You hearkened back to Foley, which is something that I would much rather prefer than Foley really kind of taking this over, because I've been a little critical of that, where I just don't like that they've been making the women's match about Mick Foley. But I did like that they hearkened back to him. You had Sasha, you know, basically they start to change the title, and Sasha gets up, and she's like, no, oh hell no. No, I'm not done. I mean, that was just a really, really great face move on her part because it shows her as a true fighting champion. I like the stuff in the crowd. I like the fact that they got to scale the cage, that, you know, Sasha took the table spot because, again, that was absolutely vicious. It was a really good way to start the sell. I would say it did take Sasha a long time to get around the sell because she was really trying to sell it really, really, really hard. But at some point, it's like, all right, come on. Somebody either help her or she needs to start feeling better because it's like she'd make it a couple of feet and she'd fall down and she'd lay there and she'd lay there and she'd lay there and she'd get up and she'd move more a couple of feet and then she'd lay there and she'd lay there and then she'd lay there and the ref's right there. And it's like, dude, just help her.
Yeah.
Be a gentleman and help. Because, I mean, that's the thing about the ref in this match. He was all over them the entire match. Every time they hit a spot. Are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay? Like, he was the most attentive ref ever. The guys, it's like they could kill each other, and the ref would just stand there and be like, cool. The girls, the ref's like, are you guys okay? The entire match. The entire match.
And one thing they did not avoid in this match was the cell.
Nope.
We had monkey flips into the cell, running knees into the cell. They used the cell. Sasha was Spider-Woman, doing double knees off the cell. They were really driven to perform in this one.
They showed up. They delivered. It was fantastic.
We had a couple of eddy spots, the triple suplexes and the frog splash. And then things went a little off the rails towards the end. There was a spot where they set up the table on the outside, and from basically what I've gathered, the spot that happened was not the spot that was going to happen, where Sasha kicked Charlotte off the apron and through the table. What it was supposed to happen, and I think what I heard was they nixed it during the match for fear of injury, was Sasha doing the double knees off the top of the top rope onto Charlotte, driving her through the table.
That would have been epic.
So they ditched that spot or something like that, and it threw them off a little bit. There was another supposed spot, this is not confirmed, but they were going to do a spot where she would do a moonsault, Charlotte would do a moonsault off the post through a table.
That would have been cool, but again, it got nixed. Supposedly. We don't know for sure. But yeah. And I think I'm sure the girls wanted to do more. I'm sure the girls wanted to go off the cell, and they probably got told no.
They were told no for a couple other spots too.
And I'm pretty sure that was everybody. Because I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if Owens and Rollins didn't want to do something off the cell. If Roman and Rusev didn't want to do something off the cell. Because it's a cell. Everybody wants to go off the cell. Even though it's going to hurt like a mother. Everybody wants to go off the set.
So,
everybody.
So, Charlotte locked in the figure eight. Sasha broke it with an unusual way, using chair.
I like that. I like that a lot. That needs to be a thing now. Stuck in the figure eight, you just beat Charlotte with a chair.
So, they were going to go for something where Sasha was doing a running powerbomb, her back gave out, and then the plan, which didn't work as we saw, the plan was the table was supposed to break. And it didn't. She threw her through it onto it twice. It never broke, so she hit natural selection for the win. Sasha's very, very thin and tiny.
Yes. Are the Falcons getting ready to score again? Maybe it's second and goal. Are we driving? Are we driving this home?
They're attempting to.
They're attempting to, but yeah, the only thing I didn't really like was the outcome of the match.
Where I got your points, I got your points, I got your points.
It's not even that. I don't care.
I know. I gotta be able to brag. Damn.
Yeah, I know you do. Oh, interception. No, third and goal.
Almost interception.
Almost interception. He tried. He tried really hard. Looks like we're kicking a field goal. Maybe. Possibly. Who knows? Anyway, I didn't like that they did the title change, and I think the supposed only reason it happened was because Vince wanted it. That was the only way he was going to let the girls be in the main event, is if Charlotte got the title back.
That was not the reason, no.
Okay, good.
He wanted the title change, but they wanted to keep the streak alive, where she's undefeated in singles competition on pay-per-view.
Touchdown! Woohoo! Go one. Go for one.
At this rate, you're going for one.
Yeah, go for one. Don't try to go for two. That did not work out last time we did it. But yeah, I get in the spirit of competition, you want the title to keep changing, but I think it cheapens the title to have it go back and forth so much in such a short period of time, where you basically had Sasha have it for less than a month, and Charlotte's already got it back.
Yeah, but it also helps that it keeps things a little bit unpredictable.
It keeps things unpredictable, but it is predictable, because you only have two people fighting for the title right now. And I understand that's by design, but it's, if you want to add unpredictability to the division, it's you have, you know, Dana Brooke win it, or somebody else other than Sasha and Charlotte win it, and have it move around the division, as opposed to two people trading it back and forth.
And I think we're going to get to that point at some point.
Yeah, because the rumor is to move Charlotte onto Bayley, probably move Sasha on to someone else as well. Maybe even give Sasha a little bit of a rest, because I know she's been hurting. But yeah, I mean, this was a fantastic match. This brought tears to my eyes. I was so happy for this match, because it's like I've been waiting ever since I've started watching wrestling for two women to get in the cell and go at it and have those handcuffs come off and be able to fight. This was well worth the wait. Well worth it. And I hope in the future that they continue to let the women go into the cell, that this wasn't a one-time thing. Because the girls went out there and proved that they could hang with the boys in the cell and deliver a top-notch match. So, ha-ha!
Oh, we all had Sasha. We all fell down. We all... Me, you, and 8-Ball went 5-3. Video game went 4-3. This entire segment was presented by youtube.com/recreationshow, where you can see 5 days of WWE 2K17 content. So go subscribe to youtube.com/recreationshow.
He's been very, very, very busy with 2K17, so go watch his stuff.
We have 5 days of content.
Very, very busy. Please go watch it. He'll cry if you don't. So I take we take our second and final break of the evening. What do you think?
Do you even have to ask?
Yes. I'm going to take that as a yes. So when we come back, we're going to have Tweet of the Week, and we're going to be talking NXT and SmackDown, so you don't want to miss it. You're listening to The Rack right here on WildTechRadio.com. We'll be right back.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
I didn't just make headlines last night. I turned the WWE Universe upside down.
To the shocking moments.
The last time you and I together, we were in Brooklyn on Monday Night Raw. It was me, you, Rusev. Remember that? That was an amazing night. And then remember, you came to my hotel room and surprised me that night. Yeah, that was crazy. Remember that? And you told me you didn't want to be with Rusev anymore. You said he was big, he was hairy, he smelled like rotten testicles. And we did those special exercises. You showed me how to do the one-legged Russian vacuum. Yes! Remember I showed you how to do the Wisconsin wheelbarrow? Hey, we were just talking about you, kinda. And you guys still together? I heard you broke up.
We're actually engaged to be married.
You're engaged to be married? Mazel! That's fantastic news! You got a hell of a woman here. She's flexible as all hell. Whoa! I mean, it's amazing!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
My name is Bo, and I'm here to say Flo Rida's disrespectful in a major way. You sucker punched my friend in WrestleMania 28, but I'd be upset too if I was named after this awful stain.
Oh, you got fired!
You need to channel your negativity in a more productive manner. You hold an ace high, but I have a full house. Like, my name is Danny Tanner.
Oh!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The Rack Extra gets a little Bella, in the form of Total Bellas.
It's not about you.
Technically, it's all about me.
Join us each week as we review the latest happenings going on in the world of the Bellas.
My husband doesn't know what a quickie is.
Ew. Listen to how sensitive he is.
My husband can't have, 2 minutes to 5 minutes of sex because he needs to start out with making out,
yeah,
and touching.
Whatever, that's
and,
fine.
Like,
no, that's not
all
fine.
The time. All the time.
What?
Which I love, but sometimes I'm like, no, a quickie, like, come on.
Why don't you just say, hey, dude. Penis.
No, Kevin. No, I would just be like, well, I can give, I guess for guys you call it a hand job.
Yeah, so what up?
No, I do. I have them do it all the time.
Yeah,
it's
so
not
great.
Sex.
That's fantastic.
Check out the Rack Extra, Total Bellas Weekly at WildTuckRadio.com and RackRadioShow.com.
My mother is getting more than me.
It doesn't take him an hour to get up, I will tell you that.
People power!
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air. Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR wherever you are.
The following has been paid for by the campaign to elect Rob Parks.
Have we even checked the birth certificates of these two people? How are we sure that they are truly American? What kind of name is Subway anyway? Where is his birth certificate? I want to see proof. Lone Jobber, that doesn't sound American either.
Vote Rob Parks in the CB Radio Party election this November.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
It is I, the Lone Jobber, the only real choice for CB Radio Presidente, Lone Jobber. And I just want to make sure that you get out and you vote. And when you vote for me. Because unlike other hosts on CB Radio, I've actually been producing material. Material you can find on YouTube. Yes, I go the extra mile. You can see all the fun little videos I've made at youtube.com/user/lonejobber. Or just search Lone Jobber. It's amazing like that. Then you can go to cbradiolive.com/election.php. Don't vote for Ace. Don't vote for Subway. Don't even vote for the Godfather of Extreme, Rob Parks. Vote Jobber.
This is Kane from WWE, and you're listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
American Dream. He's just a common man, working hard with his hands. He's just a common man, working hard for the man. Hey, he's a man.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to my friends over at Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow the journey today at Instagram.com/MBG1211. And also a huge shout out to everybody listening to us at RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, and GirlWork.net. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. If you missed us earlier and you're just tuning in, well, you missed the news, you missed Hell in a Cell, but you're just in time for Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
I have a lot this week. I have a lot more than I thought.
I have a lot more than I thought, too.
I went a little nuts on the tweets this week. Sorry, guys!
That's why it's Tweet of the Week.
AJ Mendez Brooks. I rolled my ankle trying to jump on a really crunchy leaf, and I regret nothing. The Red Dead Redemption trailer came out, and AJ says, if I had a soul, I would sell it for a new Red Dead game. AJ again, ignoring the comics for a second, here's who I hope Negan kills. Carl, Abraham, Eugene, Carl again. Just to be sure. Cesaro tweeted, as you can see, I'm pushing Seamus out of harm's way, and he's trying to hog all the glory shame, because a fan had tweeted him a video of his match against New Day with Seamus. And, well, you know, the spot where Cesaro pushed, anyway. Yeah. Out of harm's way. Sure.
Right.
AJ, I just got my head stuck inside my own sweatshirt for a full minute. Or for a full minute and a half. So today's canceled. We'll try again tomorrow.
Poor AJ.
AFW tweeted, Kevin Owens and said, tonight, Rollins plans to tear the road off the house when he takes the championship away from Kevin Owens. And Kevin Owens replies, yes, he'll tear the road off the house. Makes total sense.
Made no sense. I was like, what? Okay. They tried.
Seamus, that DQ win over the Booty Boys was not squanchy at all. # Hell in a Cell. # Swanch this. I should be the tag team champs. I want that argument now. I'm the tag team champions. No, I'm the tag team champions.
Shame Daniel Bryan's on SmackDown.
I know. So Sasha Seth Dean asks Kevin, so what's your problem with Renee Young? And he goes, well, Sasha Seth Dean, if that is your real name. The thing is, I can't stand her. Also, you're blocked. Ryan tweets Kevin Owens and goes, Kevin Owens is a champion that's not good enough to main event. He has a made up title. AJ Styles is the champion that matters. And Kevin Owens goes, you mean the guy that opened the last SmackDown pay-per-view? That one? Sure, buddy. With little kissy emojis. Kevin, you asshole. Sheamus, eliminated by my supposed tag team partner in the Battle Royal. I can't talk. Sorry, guys.
Slow down.
I know. Eliminated by my supposed tag team partner in the Battle Royal. Feel like a one-armed man hanging off a cliff with an itchy arse. # Raw. And Cesaro replied with a gif of Elsa going, let it go. Seamus, it must be Raw Halloween because I am carrying this Swiss clown on my shoulders. Another pin to me and Bozo takes the glory. Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?
Seth Rollins, I love football. So the Bears must have won.
They did. They won on Monday.
Jessica Pine tweets Kevin Owens and goes, my son wanted to send this to use Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho. And Kevin Owens goes, you could have put a clean shirt on him first. Another terrible parent. Shape up or I will adopt that child in a heartbeat. This person tweeted Kevin Owens twice.
Oh,
where
God.
She sent him this insult.
Mm-hmm.
Twice.
Mm-hmm.
And his retort to it was you had two chances to try and insult me because you tagged the wrong account first, and you still wrote your YOUR instead of YOU'RE. He actually went to her Twitter and found the other tweet and favorited it. I'm not even kidding. That is like next level asshole. I was so impressed.
Well done.
Mickey James Aldis tweeted a Japanese tweet to Asuka. I cannot read it. Because it is in Japanese, and unfortunately I do not speak Japanese, but I think Asuka translated it, where it basically says, I could hold you forever until break your bones, heart eyes emojis, and two hearts. You make my heart skip a beat. Please keep holding my hands. Kissy face emoji. WWE NXT, WWE love. And Mickey James replies, oh good, I love holding hands. Long walks on the beach, kissing under the moonlight. At WWE Asuka, at WWE Japan. It's a date. I can't wait. Long kiss goodnight. And then Mickey James was like, I now realize using the English to Japanese translator on Googs isn't my friend. Worst trash talk ever. I love take. Cry.
The tweet goes, well, it's actually better quickly. I love take. See you in Toronto. That was her tweet. Cause I did the translation thingy.
Oh, you did the translation?
Uh-huh. Well, it's actually better quickly. I love take. See you in Toronto. So she loves a quickie with the Undertaker?
I guess so.
Only in Canada, though.
But they were flirting with each other. That was
awesome. Hilarious.
This is gonna be fun.
Can't wait. We'll talk about it in a bit. Anyway, but anything else?
Oh yes, there's more. Eric Morey tweeted to Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins, Seth, you're welcome for verbally abusing Kevin Owens during the Hartford Dark match. Got in his head with the you're so fat chant.
You're so fat. You're so fat.
And Kevin Owens replied, yes, of course you did. Please keep saying bro every other word and flexing while crying on the inside. You'll be okay.
Bro.
Bro. Seth Rollins, legit can't wait to watch the Cubs lose tonight. CM Punk, Game 7, cold as ice. Let's see if there's some Pokemon here. My lovely wife, AJ Brooks. Seth Rollins, more insane. This game or me up at 6 a.m. in Frankfurt watching it. And finally, John Layfield. Last time Cubs won the World Series, the Ottoman Empire was still around, and Scott Armstrong had just started wrestling. Hashtag JBL Sports Fact.
You good?
I'm good.
Gargano, spent $30 on hot candy for Halloween. I regret nothing.
That's like one bag.
I know. EC3, at Tommy Dreamer. So if I can't wear Babe Ruth's uniform streak or hitch to the World Series trophy to my car and drive, what should I do? Tommaso Ciampa. Johnny bought a do-it-yourself table and chairs at IKEA, but we decided not to do it ourselves. Thanks, Candace. And there's a picture of her trying to put together the chair.
Jesus.
Becky Lynch. For those who don't understand my accent, what I said was SmackDown Alexa Glasgow face slapped off her. Shot well done.
Screw you, Kevin Dunn. Screw you so hard.
Bailey. Missing out at NXT San Jose because I'm running the streets here. By WWF New York, and she's pointing to the old WWF New York.
Didn't she say she's waited like 15 years to get there?
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Cesaro put out a picture of a tag team belt with his face and Cesaro and Sheamus on it, right?
Right.
Austin Creed, Xavier Woods goes, cute picture, but you couldn't beat us for the titles when you actually liked your partner. But that's none of our business, and it's a gif of Tyson Kidd drinking coffee.
Don't be bringing Tyson into this.
Someone tweeted a picture to at Busted Coverage. Start him young, hashtag go Browns. And it's a picture of two kids with the jerseys 0 and 7 on the back. Please help. And the other one says, rebellion since 1999. Rebuilding since 1999. So there you go. Fake ESPN. Good things the Brits love Thai football games. Football. Sean Ross Sapp. No, really. A fan tossed that dildo on the field in the Patriots-Bills game.
That legit happened.
Jimmy Carteris, thanks to the PG era, the Colonel is not allowed to choke the chicken in the match.
Just fry him up and eat him.
EC3, if you or anyone you know ever paid for a celeb voicemail from Robbie E. Impact, let me know so I can come punch you square in the face. EC3, I'm going as a judge for Halloween. WWE creative-ish. For Halloween, we are dressed as the scariest thing we could think of. Vince McMahon's quads. Johnny Gargano, first Halloween in Orlando. A bunch of NXT superstars live in our complex. I hope Ho-Ho Loon is giving us some good candy this year.
I want video of them going around trick-or-treating.
I know.
Because you know they did that.
Mm-hmm. Shinsuke Nakamura tweeted, who did hashtag Shinsuke Nakamura cosplay at Halloween? Prince Pretty Gorgeous Tyler Breeze goes, idiots. That's who. Nikki and Brie Bella are the Bell Twins. Cheers to nipples. I mean Naples. Hashtag Total Bellas. Go listen to the episode.
It's hilarious.
This game is a fake ESPN. This game is symbolic of a Charlie Sheen cocaine bender. So many twists, turns, and unexpected things happening. Should everyone know, most of these coming up are about the last night's game. Fake Sports Center. If you listen closely, you can hear the city of Cleveland deleting all their 3-1 tweets from the last 5 months. I'm breaking those. Luke Walton was heard. Baxter Holmes quotes Luke Walton. Lakers coach Luke Walton looked at the TV just now, saw the World Series score, and laughed and said, with a huge grin, how's that feel, Cleveland? Taking shot. Austin Creed, currently in Frankfurt, Germany, and it's 4:14 a.m., but it's the World Series. I'm not even a baseball guy, and I'm biting my nails over here. John Gonzalez, greatest World Series ever. Saddest World Series ever. Fake ESPN, Cubs fans officially on suicide watch. Stu Mitchell, call it a tie, give them both a fake championship so they can stay lovable losers forever. And a pitcher above Bud Selig going, whatever. Adnan Virk, Joe Maddon will not be satisfied until Aroldis Chapman's arm falls off. Bill Plaschke, forget batting and pitching. How are these guys even breathing? Jonathan Snowden, casual fan observation. There are a lot of fat baseball players. Also, a lot of beardos. Dan Lebatard Show. Got a manager who doesn't trust bullpen, and a closer who doesn't trust best pitch, and a fan base that doesn't trust the last 100 years. ProWrestling.net. The great Harry Carey would be so drunk right now. He continues, as if the teams haven't waited long enough to win a World Series because of the rain delay. David Murphy. Just saying, if this was football, they'd be playing. Sam Roberts. The rain delay is the most dangerous for Joe Bugs. Hair plugs. Mike Sempervivi. Cleveland has been put into a neck brace with a bunch of wires to boot. Can they bank up from the bank the backboard. Nice wrestling tie-in. Matt Oswalt praying for the Indians to tie it up so we can see more commercials for that James Franco movie. Cage seats. The Cubs winning here would be like when Brock Lesnar broke Undertaker's WrestleMania streak, but actually like meaningful. CM Punk. This is the ball game for my generation. This is unbelievable. Hashtag World Series. Curt Schilling finally said something funny. You know who's screwed right now? The dudes trying to set up champagne. They're running around like chickens with their heads cut off.
Yeah, they probably were.
Semper Vivi, dear Chicago and Cleveland, thank you. That was awesome. Now, please don't destroy your cities.
Has anybody checked on Chicago? Does anybody know if it's okay?
All I know is one person climbed the light pole and then fell. It was the greatest 10 minutes of my life. Listen to the radio. Oh, the police were scanner. Dude's climbing up a pole. 10 minutes later, dude fell. We need an ambulance.
Awesome. And he's down.
Enzo Mori, it's 5:49 in the Frankfurt, Germany. I figured if you could hold off 108 years, I could hold off these. Glad I stayed awake. History. Congrats, Cubs. Gus Ramsey, live look at for Steve Bartman, and it's a gif of saying, freedom! Tommy Dreamer, for the record, I've never won a match on WWE SmackDown. Yay, a new underdog streak that won't be broken. My own. Hashtag World Series. And Austin Aries. I want to live in a world where hospitals serve far less jello and way more bananas. Feed me to heal me. Not to heal me. H-E-E-L. And that's Tweet of the Week.
Alright, well now we're going to do the SmackDown Throwdown.
SmackDown.
Okay.
SmackDown theme song. SmackDown.
SmackDown.
This is the theme song.
Here we go.
We're just singing the SmackDown theme song.
I can't handle it.
Just keeps going.
Poor Renee. Poor Renee. She's just going to stop bringing Dean on her show. Although Dean and Brian together, I need a ride along of Dean and Brian together.
That would be amazing.
I need that to happen.
With Renee in the car.
That
would be amazing.
That would be hilarious.
So that was from Talking Smack. I have another clip after we're done this SmackDown Throwdown. So James Ellis runs from security. Yes, I said Ellis because the backstage announcer got his name wrong.
Oh, somebody's hurt. Number 36. His leg is dangling. That's not a good sign. Why are you petting him on the head?
Hashtag blame Brent.
There you go. Live blame Brent right here on the rack. So anyway, I'm sorry. James Ellis...
runs from security last Tuesday on SmackDown. So he was barred from ringside. That doesn't mean he would stop from going to ringside, as it was AJ Styles versus Dean Ambrose for the number one contendership. Dean Ambrose would win. James Ellsworth eventually would help win it, and then he gets dragged off to the back, and they're just pulling him by his arms up the ramp, and he just has this smirk on his face. It was tremendous.
Well, it was, the whole theme of James Ellsworth was, I'm so sorry, Dean. I wish I could make this up to you. I'm so sorry. And he makes it up to Dean, which was a really nice part of the story. And then there's the other side of it, which is he screwed AJ Styles. And he got his revenge on AJ Styles.
Yeah.
By helping Dean Ambrose.
Yeah.
Which was awesome. He paid back, like, every favor, everything Dean had done for him, like, all of it. It was the perfect close to James Ellsworth, if this is the close. That he did the thing. He did what he needed to do to get Dean to the title, which is awesome. But this was hilarious, because James comes running out, and we're like, no, James, remember what happened the last time? No. And thankfully it didn't happen. But he did get chucked to Tomorrow Ronaldo.
He did. Fabulous Blissfulness, because how you doing? They tossed a new interviewer out of the ring, and they conducted their own promos after they beat Becky Lynch and Nikki Bella. I thought they did tremendous promos.
Oh my God, it was epic.
Interviewing one another. They were great.
I need this in my life. I so need this in my life. All the things need this in my life. This was fantastic.
So I'm putting you on the spot. Who walks out next week? Alexa or Becky for the title?
I think it's Alexa.
Yeah, part of me really believes it's Alexa.
She is hitting her stride. And she just gets better and better every week. I mean, she's taken this heel role. She's running with it. She's really almost the number one heel on SmackDown right now.
She is.
I can't think of a stronger
Carmella's number
women's
two.
Heel.
Carmella's number two. Alexa's number one.
So it's like, if you're going to do that, and they have a plethora of faces to chase for the title. So honestly, put it on Alexa. Let everybody chase Alexa.
And Becky can get the belt back at TLC, if you want.
If she wants. Or you could give Alexa a nice long reign. It's really kind of up to you, but yeah. I say Alexa takes it home next week.
We'll see. I think so too, but again, it's in Glasgow, so we'll, who knows. Natty's a cat, I mean a coach. We know a lot about Natty's cats, Sam.
To make a joke, but I won't.
That's why
I did it on Twitter.
Why it said it this way, not the other way. Just move on.
I don't get how they're doing the Women's Survivor Series team. Why isn't Becky the captain?
Because
other than the fact that Becky's potentially losing the title, which I feel like because they haven't named her captain, that's why. It's because they're taking the title off of her. Like, that's a giant red flag. But, I mean, it's like, this is no offense to Nikki or Natty, but it's, why isn't it Becky? What makes Nikki or Natty better than Becky?
It's because she beat Natty. That's the best point, best way to put it. I got no other answer.
Yeah, I got nothing.
Daniel Bryan and Miz got at it again on Miz TV. I thought it was well done, him announcing the Survivor Series team. It's Bray Wyatt, it's Randy Orton, it is Dean Ambrose, it is Baron Corbin, and AJ Styles.
And nothing for Miz.
Nothing for the Miz. Dolph Ziggler took on Curt Hawkins, beat him in 2 seconds. Or 3 seconds. Waste of time.
Basically.
But Dolph Ziggler is issuing an open challenge for anyone from Raw to fight him at Survivor Series for the IC title. And finally, trusting a snake?
Oh, we need to talk about this. We need to talk about this. Because Luke Harper, ladies and gentlemen, is not a happy camper right now. Why? Because Bray Wyatt is flirting with Randy Orton right in front of him, and Bray Wyatt is going to adopt Randy Orton. Luke is not okay with this. He's 100% not okay with this. He was looking at Randy like, oh, you're trying to steal my Bray, and that is not going to happen. You touch him, you die. Like, that was literally the look he was giving Randy.
Then Randy later had spooky eyes.
Randy is like, Randy killed Kane right in front of Bray and Luke. He fed Kane. He basically pushed Luke away and fed Kane to Bray. Luke and Orton sort of had this really tense moment, which led me to believe that we're going to get a Bray on a pole match because, you know, Luke and Randy are going to fight over Bray, which would be hilarious. He'd probably really be into it, too. And then backstage, we had Randy Orton find the Wyatt family. And Bray basically looked at Randy and said, I don't trust you because you're a snake. And Randy's like, no, man, it's cool. You're a god to me. I love you. And Bray's like, aw, we're going to keep him.
And Luke was not happy.
And Luke was like, red flag, red flag, red flag.
He stared right at Bray like, what? Don't trust him. Don't trust him.
That was an awkward car ride. But yeah. So, Bray's gonna maybe adopt Randy Orton. Maybe he's not. We'll have to see.
Pointless touchdown for the Buccaneers. Killed someone's fantasy team if you had the Atlanta Falcons defense.
Not it.
Not it. Thankfully.
And they're going for two.
They're going for two.
And they get two.
So it's 43-28. They're still down two scores.
With 59 seconds left. And the Falcons are getting the ball back.
Anyway, that... was the SmackDown Throwdown.
This has been Talking Smack. Daniel Bryan, I'll be back again next week to break down everything that goes down on SmackDown Live. And we've got songs and dance every now and then.
This is why Dean Ambrose and Dan O'Brien just need to be together. Because my favorite part of Talking Smack was Dan O'Brien looking at Dean going, I told him about that time you beat me up in Dragon Gate USA. And Dean was like, you deserved it. And Brian just sits there and goes, fair enough.
Now it's time for the NXT Rundown.
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
Alright, this is a really quick NXT Rundown because this week's episode was the Dusty Classic second round updates. Filmed on location, two of the matches. We'll start with how they went. It was supposed to be TM61 versus Roderick Strong and Austin Aries, but as we mentioned earlier in the show, because of the broken eye hole, Austin Aries could not compete, so Regal says one of TM61 will take on Roderick Strong, and Shane Thorne of the TM61 beat Roderick Strong, so TM61 advances.
Why would you shirk the kick?
Did they go for an onside kick?
They went for an onside kick!
Well, that's what you're supposed to do.
No, but they shirked it. The Falcons recovered it at, like, the 50-yard line.
Oh, that was dumb, then.
Like, I think they were trying to get to it so they could get really good field position and probably try to go for another touchdown.
They're trying to catch them off guard.
But the Falcons were like, oh, hey, yeah, we're right here, and we've got the ball. Oh, God, they're at the 45.
They're just taking the knee.
No!
Yeah.
End it! End it!
They're taking a knee. They're running out the clock. You take a knee, runs the clock down. That's all it has.
No, dude, you play till the end.
You just... Anyway, moving on. Any comment...
Damn it!
Any comments about the blood on Austin Aries' eye or the match or anything?
Oh, God, his eye looks nasty! But yeah, no, this was a fine match. I really, really, really liked the matches that were filmed on a location. It had a bigger, grander feel, and it's like, this is awesome!
The DIY was supposed to take on the Revival, but because Scott Dawson was injured with a career-threatening knee injury...
The Revival pushed out.
All he needs to take is, you know, some medicine for it. He'll be okay.
Make sure it's cleared on the drug policy!
Some Advil or whatever. DIY moves on via forfeit. The Authors of Pain took on Noah, Jose, and Rich Swann in San Jose, the bigger field that Lindsay was talking about. Authors of Pain picked up the win. Our biggest takeaway was that was a long match, and we couldn't figure out the coat of color of Paul Ellering.
I swear to God it was powder blue.
Looked gray, but it also could have been light for blue. I don't know. This is how we discuss wrestling. And Sanity beat Ibushi and TJ Perkins.
This was a solid matchup.
Yeah, it was fine.
Still not really feeling Sanity.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not connecting with it yet, but this was a good match.
So, there's your Dusty Rhodes Classic updates. More matches next week on NXT. But that'll do it for us.
Yeah, I think that's it. So, well, you plug away.
Saturday Night Midnight is CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual. Vote now at CBRadioLive.com for the CB Radio Party election. It's a very tight race. That's all I can say. It's very, very tight. Keep voting. CBRadioLive.com. Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio with Tim Stein, Heartbreak Mike, and the Omega, 10 p.m. Eastern. Go to WrestleTalkRadio.com in the all-time greatest. Monday Night Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Thursday night for another edition of The Rack, live, 10 p.m. Eastern. Check out The Rack Extra Total Bellas, available now. Season 1, Episode 5, the finale, the season finale, will be available 12 to 10 hours before this show airs on Thursday.
I don't want it to be over.
YouTube.com/RackRadioShow for 5 days of WWE 2K17 content, including Mashup Monday, Redo Tuesday, the Raw Redo Tuesday, My Journey Wednesday, Throwback Thursday, and Fantasy Friday. Go to YouTube.com/RackRadioShow, or if you want to see it all before it actually hits YouTube, most of it will be available at Twitch.tv/RackRadioShow. Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, Twitch, you know it, search Rack Radio Show, we're there. Subscribe, like us, follow us, all that fun stuff. At Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network.
You can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LANSWRD, and go to my website, psychicworkdesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LinsWard, same as the Twitters. And also, don't forget to check out our awesome, amazing sponsors, Gerwick.net, TNAsylum.net, The Haven for TNA fans, and Wrestling Figure Photography, instagram.com/MBG1211. Follow the journey today. So for Rock, I'm Lizzie Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week. Bye.
Some country boys working overtime, boys. Kings of the South, we never had nothing. Blue collar boys do it with their hands muddy. They don't want none. Oh, they don't want none. They don't want none. No, they don't want none.
WildTalkRadio.com.